welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the season from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. And let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline, Jersey Mike's A Sub Above, where we find Timmy Crawford, the former Fighting Illini and Loyola Rambler, also was a member of St. Viator's golf team from Arlington Heights, and he had himself quite a weekend last weekend, and he joins us right now on the CDGA Golf Show. By the way, this segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan golf without the drive. Good morning, Timmy. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Timmy, it's great to have you, the pride of Arlington Heights. You know, everyone's talking about the shot we heard, you know, around the world, or it, well, came from Colorado for that matter. At what point did you know, once you hit it, like, this thing might be good?
I really never considered that it might go in, but I hit it, and I knew that it was about the right yardage for a driver. About halfway through the shot's flight, I saw it kind of turning toward the hole and figured it'd probably be pretty good. It'd probably end up just running 20 or 30 feet past the hole, and I'd have a putt for eagle. But definitely did not expect it to go in the hole.
So did you see it actually go in, or was it one of those things where you walked up and, oh, my gosh, I don't see it anywhere, let me go look in the hole?
No, it was. We saw it from the tee box. We saw the ball kind of disappear, and then the gallery, probably about maybe 20 or 30 people around the green, started cheering, so figured it must have gone in. So celebrated a little bit on the tee box, and then tried to calm myself down on the way to go pick it out of the hole.
And that is, what, your third or fourth hole-in-one?
I think that was my fourth hole-in-one, but first on a par four.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead.
And definitely the first in competition. So,
I was gonna say, for someone who, like, you, I don't think you can have a 360-yard hole in one and that be your first. Something tells me that if your golf game's that good, that's not your first.
You know, hole in ones are a weird thing. Sometimes they're good shots, sometimes they're bad shots. Luckily, this one was a good shot.
Well, and, you know, there wasn't a camera, unfortunately, on this particular hole. But when we look at the diagram and the line you took on this hole, most mortals wouldn't even consider the line you took. Earlier, you just said, oh, yeah, the distance is, you know, right around my driver distance. You had to fly that thing what to get it to that? Because you carried a body of water that was absolutely insane and probably needed a boat to go from one side to the other.
So it's probably a little bit different than it might look in person. And then you have to consider that you're in Colorado, where you're at 5,200 feet of elevation, where the ball goes. I think it was about 10 or 11% more than here in Chicago.
So what did you fly it? How much?
It probably flew about 320, something in that range. And I definitely drew the ball. So even though, like, the shot tracer online looked like it was a straight line of the hole, it definitely didn't. It probably didn't cover as much water as it looked like, but it was still probably 300 yards to get over the water.
So tell us then, obviously after this happened, you had made the cut after qualifying, but then this actually played a big part in how and why you're in this event. Can you tell us what then transpired to get you to be able to go compete in Missouri this week and stay on the Corn Ferry Tour?
Yeah. So I played well enough on Monday last week in Colorado to qualify in, made the cut, played well. And then obviously started my Saturday with a hole in one, parlayed that into finishing. I shot 68 on Saturday and then played a really good round on Sunday, shot 7 under par 65, which got me fifth place and then got me into next week, this current week's event. It was definitely like a very quick kind of 0 to 100 of not being in any events, and then all of a sudden being in the next week and then the week after that's events too.
And so then the good news is, your friends at the Western Golf Association, probably not too far from where you grew up, contacted you and invited you to play in the NV5. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. That happened on Wednesday. I was very excited to hear that. It's I think I've been to that tournament the last two or three years, either watching guys that I know or just going out to watch some golf. So it'll be really cool to be out there myself and competing.
Timmy Crawford with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Like he just mentioned, he will be participating in the NV5 Invitational at the Glen Club in a little bit. But so, Timmy, what's your familiarity with the Glen Club itself? How many times have you played it? And where would you rank it among some of the courses that you play here in Illinois?
Yeah, I've probably played the Glen Club 20 or 30 times. So very familiar with it. And I would say it's always in really good condition. I always enjoy going out to play. I have some friends that are members there. So we'll go play golf, and it's always just a nice, enjoyable place to go play. It's also nice there that they have a pretty big practice facility, and a lot of courses in Chicago, much smaller ranges. So it's a really nice place.
Yeah, and you know, and it's a place that traditionally, when the Corn Ferry boys all arrive, they tend to go low there. Hearing that you've played it at least 20 to 30 times, what has been your best score when you've played the Glen Club?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I would probably guess 65 or 6.
Wow.
Something in there. Yeah, well, the guys tend to tear it up because in the summer the greens are always pretty soft and the fairways are pretty wide out there. So lots of guys drive it well, and if you drive it well, you have a lot of short irons and wedges into the pretty soft greens. So even though it's not an easy golf course, but when you put, I guess, 156 of some of the best golfers in the world, it definitely will yield some low scores.
Timmy Crawford's our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. When you look at some of the alums of this event, guys like, I mean, Scottie Scheffler is off to a fantastic start to his career and a pretty good start here at the Open. Guys like Cameron Young, who we've seen go sub 60 this year. Justin Thomas, who's playing so well at the Open this week as well. When you see the list of alums that come out of this event, what do you think in terms of, can I, like, that's what I aspire to. I can get to that level because I'm playing in an event. I'm on the path that some of these guys were on.
Yeah, definitely. I think that knowing that you can compete and knowing that you can play in events like this gives you a lot of confidence going forward. But also at the same time, recognize that you do still have a long way to go to get to that level, right? But I think at least for me, just even getting in last week's event and playing well, it kind of gave me the self-belief and confidence that I know I do belong and I can compete. So I guess just kind of continuing to build on that and move forward.
So, Timmy, you spent 4 years at Loyola, and then you transferred over to Illinois. So you're at two D1 programs. But give me the idea, especially for all those D1 prospects listening, including my nephew, Charlie, to whom you played with in the Illinois State AM last week. What's the biggest difference between the two programs playing from Coach Small, who has what I consider one of the best programs in the country, and coming from what I consider a very good program in Loyola?
I would probably just say the amount of resources and support that's available. So anything from practice facilities to travel to tournaments, I think everything is just leveled up a bit. I definitely, Coach Small gives you anything and everything you need to succeed and compete with the best. So I would just say that there's really, with Coach Small this past year at Illinois, there's no stone unturned. There's no shortcomings. Everything is the best that it can be.
Timmy, what's the best advice that Coach Small has given you as you've started to make the turn towards becoming professional?
That's a good question. I think that he's explained a couple times over the course of the last year was that kind of self-belief and confidence should not come from your results. It should come from just yourself. You're in this position so you believe you can. And so I would say that's the best piece of advice that I got from him was, you should believe in yourself. You should, I guess, do your best no matter what. I know it sounds simple, but when you think about it in golf, if you can have that mentality throughout all your rounds, it can help a lot.
Yeah, you sound like a guy that trusts the process more than the results. And as such, what does the future look like after NV5 for a guy like you? I mean, are you literally taking this one day at a time, or is there a specific plan post NV5?
I mean, I'm trying my best to take it one day at a time because at the end of the day, playing good golf will always help you move forward in the game. So it's kind of interesting. So I think that from now after MV5, I will continue to try and play in all the rest of the Korn Ferry Tour events this year. I'll play in the Monday qualifiers, and I'll try to gain more points so I can move up the points list as they go into the Korn Ferry playoffs. So really just trying to get into as many events as possible, move myself, my name up the points list so I can gain status for next year.
Timmy Crawford, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. Timmy, before we let you go here, you spent your high school years at St. Viator up in Arlington Heights, and a fellow professional Chicago athlete also spent some time up there, Cole Komet. Have you ever hit the links with Cole before, and do you know him at all?
I have not hit the links with Cole, no. I was classmates with his younger brother, Casey, so I know his younger brother well. I've spoken to Cole a few times, but I do not know him well, no.
Well, if anyone wants to see Timmy or the rest of these amazing players, they should get out to the Glen Club this week. And they've got an amazing package for the tickets, $20 for a grounds pass, $45 for a special pavilion pass. But here's the greatest thing. Juniors under 15 are free with an adult. So if you've got a young child, a son or a daughter that's into this game, you can get up close to the likes of Timmy Crawford and the rest of these future stars. You're going to see tomorrow's stars today if you go out to the Glen Club this week. And we wish Timmy nothing but the best. And there's almost anything this kid can't do. What we watched him at the stadium last year, Tyler, he birdied the last four holes to make the cut. So we look for big things out of you, Timmy. So good luck this week, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks, Timmy. And best of luck this week. That's Timmy Crawford. He'll be participating in the NV5 this week up at the Glen Club. So be sure to get on out there. And you never know who you're going to see at that event, too.
That's true.
I remember a couple years ago, I wasn't at the event, but I was at a restaurant nearby, and in walked Mitch Trubisky because he had just been at the NV5. I think one of his old UNC buddies was participating in the event, and what was it? Caleb Williams was at the Players this year, I believe. So we know he's a golf fan, and plenty of Chicago Bears are golf fans. So you never know who you're going to see out there. At one of these events as well. So hopefully everyone can get on out there and catch some great golf, and you never know what future star you might be seeing. Like we mentioned, Scottie Scheffler played in this event a couple years ago, and look where he is now. He's currently sitting tied for fourth at the Open and also has a couple of green jackets to go with it as well. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to filter through what's going on at the Open as everybody is on the course right now. So that is all coming up next. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. As we continue to keep our eye on the Open Championship, we talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. And if you missed any of the show, you can find us on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app so you can take us on the go whenever and wherever. And you can find all of our podcasts, including the CDGA Golf Show. So find that tab on the ESPN Chicago app, or you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so as we continue to take a look at what's taking place out at the Open Championships, Shane Lowry is your leader right now. He is 7 under And if you look at the weather right now, and they just showed a radar of what's coming through at Royal Troon, it does not look pretty. Looks like we're in for a very rain-packed afternoon as well. So it's going to be a dicey one out there to close things out at Royal Troon. We do have someone who has just sort of entered his way up the leaderboard as well, and that is Russell Henley. And the way that he has put together a nice little stretch of golf here, he has 6 birdies today. They have all come over the course of his last, let's see, what is that, 9 holes. 6 birdies in his last 9 holes, and he is now 4 under. That bumps him up to tied for second. By the way, some of the guys who were a little bit higher up, they have fallen back a little bit. So Shane Lowry, who has held serve so far today and is even through 2, he now has increased his lead to 3 shots. So, but Russell Henley is certainly starting to make a little bit of a charge here and very well could be in that final pairing with someone like Shane Lowry, as Daniel Brown has just birdied. So he is now moving his way into sole possession of second place, but we're starting to see a little bit of movement from some of these guys who did not enter the day in a good spot, and Russell Henley certainly being the latest of that crop to make a little bit of a charge here.
No doubt, and you know, it's going to be interesting. If he can hold on, he could put himself, like you said, in that final group, the pride of Kiowa Island, Russell Henley, and this is where timing is everything, where you let it go from the first tee today, because the likes of Sam Burns, who went 5 under and he's on his 15th hole. Adam Scott's another guy that climbed into this with a 5 under round today, and he's in the clubhouse. So he's at even. It'll be interesting to see if these guys will now start to come back as the weather starts to arrive. And a guy like Russell Henley, if he could get in the clubhouse before that terrible weather arrives, he may find himself right there in that final group, and a guy that we didn't even have on the radar when we got up this morning.
No, absolutely not. And the round that he has put together today has been spectacular, only to be matched by Thurston Lawrence, who is currently 6 under for the day, did most of his damage on the front. He put together 6 birdies on the front and then has 1 on the back and also a bogey on the back as well. But he's moved his way into the top 5. He's tied for 5th currently at 3 under. But yeah, there's been a lot of movement so far today, as it apt to do on a moving day Saturday. But I think you said, I think guys like Sam Burns, guys like Russell Henley, you want to be closer towards the end of your rounds than the beginning of your rounds right now, given what we've seen from the weather out there. And it's probably going to help guys like Henley and Burns and Lawrence, and not so do many favors for guys like Daniel Brown, Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, and even a Scottie Scheffler out there right now. The one guy who is navigating the weather pretty well is Xander Schauffele. He is 2 under right now through his first 5 holes out on the course. So looking at some of these guys, I mean, you've got a former major. You've got 2 guys who have won majors already this year inside the top 5. You've got a guy like Shane Lowry, who's won this event before. You've got Justin Rose, who we know always plays well in some of these tough conditions, although he has bogeyed once so far today on that first hole. That first hole giving some people some trouble today, especially some of the later groups, because that wind has just been all over the place, and it certainly doesn't help to have to play with some of your rain gear on as well.
No, and you know, another guy that has benefited from the draw that he received for the tee time today is a guy, Justin Thomas. I mean, if he shoots 1 under yesterday, he's got the lead by 1 shot right now. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he finished with a couple of bogeys coming in and still shot 67 today. So he's a guy who's also sitting right there at even with Adam Scott that could find himself a lot higher up the leaderboard as the day wears on without doing anything but just sitting in the lounge watching golf. And he could find himself in a rather unique position given the season that he has had, where he's had this, you know, where he's had a, you know, an up and down year. And this tournament is kind of reflecting exactly the season that he's had. So tomorrow will be a very telling day and a very opportunistic one potentially for a Justin Thomas.
I mean, if you look at the round he had yesterday, where, like you mentioned, I mean, he has been up and down and up and down, but he goes 7 over yesterday, and that includes a 9 over front. Like, he had to work his way back to even get to 7 over for his second round of the tournament, but he caps it off with a triple on 9, but then turns it around on the back half and goes 2 under on that backside. But I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, if he even played average golf yesterday, and maybe even if he just went 1 or 2 over, he's really in the thick of things. If he had done that, he would have been probably tied for second, or maybe even in sole possession of second, if he could have put together a somewhat average first half or first nine out there yesterday. But this course has played all sorts of tricks on people, and it has been a difficult one, and the weather's certainly not going to help any of these guys here as we come down the stretch. The other guy too, I think, who's kind of in that grouping with Justin Thomas there, who is a benefactor of the way that the weather shook out today, Adam Scott, who is 5 under for the tournament, right, or was 5 under today, even for the tournament. Him and JT both tied for 13th right now. So this is going to be an interesting final 12 to 15 holes for a lot of these guys, where they're going to have to battle the elements. And Shane Lowry, your current leader at 7 under for the entire tournament, I don't know if 7 under is going to be our leading score as we enter Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And it's funny, back in 2016 when Phil and Heinrich had that shootout, Heinrich won at 20 under par. This year, not so much. And I think you're seeing the tale of two different events with two different weather forecasts entirely. But what is most impressive to me about what Justin Thomas did yesterday was the fact that he did shoot 45. It was the second round. And guys at that point can almost go, you know what? Should I do, you know, a Rory and kind of just mail it in and finish and start heading home? No. He turns around and birdies 10 and 12, the first, you know, 2 out of 3, and then finishes strong with that 33, and then turns around and just doesn't quit. This guy does not give up. He's a grinder, and I just think he epitomizes why you never give up.
Right. I think that's a perfect way to put it there too. And I mean, who knows where his head is if he doesn't have the round one that he had. I mean, he was 3 under. He was, for a good portion of Thursday, he was your leader.
Oh yeah.
At the Open. But if he doesn't have that Thursday, I wonder where his head is at. Whereas Rory, I mean, his Thursday was a disaster. And like he said, by the time I got to hole 22 of my tournament, I was pretty much thinking about where I was going to go on vacation this week.
Yeah, and you know, when you hear that out of a guy like Rory, that tells you mentally he's still not over it. And
no.
I think it is an easy way to just sort of default back to woe is me in this case. You know, I'm done. Versus having that tenaciousness, that never quit. And I'm proud of JT. I really hope he comes through in a big, big way tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I remember just thinking about his 2023. What an odd 2023. He misses the FedEx Cup playoffs, and he has that one chip attempt that just misses, and you see him collapse to the ground because he knew he had to get that. I believe it was at the Wyndham Championship. He had to get that to fall, or otherwise he was not going to make the playoff. And he ends up not being a part of it, and there were questions about, is this guy going to make it on the Ryder Cup team? Is he not? Zach Johnson ultimately picks him, and even though things didn't go well for the U.S., JT showed why he was a pivotal part of that, despite the fact that he's a pivotal part of that team and a big reason why they could have success. He was one of the better players for Team USA, and all of that was in spite of the fact that he did not have a good season on the PGA Tour at the majors last year, and he was just 1 year removed from winning the PGA Championship in an epic comeback fashion.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess, you know, he may be small in physical stature, but his heart is bigger than most, and if not the biggest out there, when it comes to digging down deep and realizing the chips are down, everything is against you, but I am not going to give in. And I just love that resiliency that he has. You know, they grow him tough and stubborn down in Louisville, Kentucky. That is for sure.
All right, when we come back, I want you to put your NBC hat on when we come back, Mike, because I want to see who you want to see in some of these final groupings as for Sunday's rounds as we conclude here. Who do you want to see get hot so we can have some real drama, intrigue, and star power on that leaderboard as we get to Sunday? This is all going to be a tough way to close out the final the final couple holes here on this Saturday because of the way that the weather is blowing right now. So we'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge as we continue to keep our eye on the Open Championship. But before we do that, let's give away a couple of rounds of golf to our great presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. So let's do, we've got Shane Lowry at 7-under right now, and then in second place, you've got Justin Rose and Daniel Brown at 5-under. So how about we'll go callers 5 and 7 right now. You will win a pass to play a complimentary round of golf as well as a cart at Glenview Park Golf Club. So callers 5 and 7 right now at 312-332-3776. You will be winners of those two golf passes. We'll give a couple more out throughout the – we'll do a couple more next week. Want to give some people some time to still get out there because, I mean, Mike, it is already July 20th, believe it or not, and we are almost into August, and fall will be here before you know it. But it does feel like the golf season has stretched out a couple days each year, so – hopefully we'll get something going late into October. Maybe even we sneak into November as well this year.
Oh, I think so. And based on what Tracy shared with us last week, she's expecting us to have a bit longer fall. And that's what we've been doing. In fact, the USGA for our region of the country has extended our posting season,
yeah,
which used to be April to the end of October. It's now the middle of March to the middle of November. So we've extended our season due to the changes in our climate, so to speak, to marry up to what was actually happening here and the way it affects our ability to play the great game of golf.
Yep, no doubt about that. So callers 5 and 7, 312-332-3776. You'll win a pass to play at Glenview Park Golf Club. Oh, boy. I mean, looking at the television right now, and first of all, they're showing the radar on the screen, and it is not looking pretty, but you can barely see it. You can barely see what's taking place on the course because all of these cameras are smeared with water right now.
That's right.
And I'm almost surprised. Listen, I know that this is the most weather-impacted major that we see year in and year out, but I'm almost starting to get to the point where I'm a little surprised they're still out there.
Well, you know, this is links-style golf. This is what happens. And I think as long as water is not pooling, and as long as the balls aren't moving because of tremendous amounts of wind and there's no lightning, they're going to play.
Yeah.
I think they're a hardier bunch across the pond than we are over here in America as it comes to how much we will tolerate before we decide to mail it in and go in the clubhouse. But I think also there they have to stay out there because it's a link style and you go nine holes out nine. So you don't have much of a choice in many instances. And I remember being in Ireland and playing a link style, and we started out in shorts and short sleeve shirts. By the ninth hole, we were wearing everything we owned, walking into a driving rainstorm, and then when we finished, we were in our shorts and short sleeve shirt. It was the craziest day. But that is golf in Scotland and in Ireland for sure.
Yep. Shane Lowry has just birdied, so he moves to 8-under and a 3-stroke lead on the field. Another guy who just birdied too, as I want to get to what we were talking, what I wanted to talk about here. Colin Morikawa has just birdied as well. He moves to 1-under and moves into 10th place. He still has half the golf course to play as well. So a chance for Colin Morikawa to work himself into one of those final pairings. But, all right, I asked you to put your NBC producer hat on. What do you most want to see? What are the pairings you most want to be a part of your Sunday coverage? Who do you want playing together? And who do you want really in the thick of things here as we head into the final round?
Well, given what we don't know what will happen and how it will all end up here in the next couple of hours, if I'm sitting in Tommy Roy's seat at NBC, I'm hoping like heck that I can pair up groups and make twosomes in a sense that helps each other play well. And by that, I mean for the likes of, let's say, Matthew Jordan and Daniel Brown. I would put those two together because yeah. they're both inexperienced. They're both from the same country, and I think they could both feed off of each other. Similarly, in the same way, JT and if Xander could be put together, the same way I'd love to see John Rahm climb into this thing and be paired with Scottie Scheffler. I would love to see Patrick Cantlay and Adam Scott come together in a twosome. And then the two South Africans, Thurston Lawrence and Dean Burmeister, I think those two would help each other. They're both from South Africa. I think they both get comfortable on that golf course. And this would then tailor ourselves for what I would consider one heck of a 152nd Open Championship shootout. And I just think it will be entertaining, and it might produce the same, you know, duel that Heinrich and Phil had on that infamous Sunday. You need to have two guys together that can match each other shot for shot. That's what I would love to see happen for us as a viewing audience and for NBC.
Yeah, I would love to see someone put the heat on Shane Lowry on Sunday because he probably feeling a little comfortable right now. He's still going for it. He did just birdie up on four. But I would love to see someone like Scotty or Xander get into that final pairing with Shane Lowry, and maybe they're two strokes apart from each other. I think that would bring some great drama into Sunday for an event that last year, I mean, this thing, by this time last year, I think the event was pretty much over and Brian Harman had already run away with it. But I would love to see somebody put a little bit of heat on Shane Lowry, because we've had some epic finishes to a lot of these majors, and it's largely been due to the star power of what we've seen and the champions and the final pairings and the guys who are atop the leaderboard in that top five or so. I mean, you think about going back to the Masters, it was Scottie Scheffler was making his charge, but you had, what was it? It was Colin Morikawa, I believe, was right there with him. You had Ludvig Åberg, who was right there with him. All these guys were just kind of around that portion of the leaderboard. And then Scotty, once they pretty much hit Amen Corner, Scotty thrived and everyone else fell off. And it was really, really good to see that sort of materialize over that Sunday. Likewise, at the PGA, I thought Xander and Bryson gave you a great duel down the stretch. And then, of course, at the U.S. Open, it was kind of how did Rory lose this and the battle that he had with a guy like Bryson DeChambeau, who ultimately wins. That, to me, we got great drama there down the stretch because those guys were so neck and neck, and there were so many guys in the hunt there. And I think that if we can find someone to really press on Shane Lowry, that'll be what's best for this tournament, because right now he's starting to separate a little bit. He's got that three-stroke lead, and with the weather being what it is right now, I mean, if he enters Sunday at 8 under or maybe even better than that, if he kind of holds where he is right now, I think he'll win this thing pretty comfortably as long as he can have a decent day on Sunday.
Oh, I would totally agree with you. And how about, I think it was Billy Horschel. I've never seen him putt with his hat on backwards.
I just saw that. Yeah.
That goes to show you the stuff is inbound as we speak. But getting back to your point about Shane, you know, I have originally had him paired with Justin Rose, and I think he would be the guy right now if he positioned himself as such to have that duel. Interesting, they're both Ryder Cup companions and probably the closest of friends, so that would be a cool pairing. However, if we can't get John Rahm with Scotty, I would love to see Scotty go against Shane in a mano-a-mano on Sunday. It would just be amazing. And, you know, I continue to think about President Cup and Ryder Cup ramifications from this, and it makes me scratch my head sometimes when the PGA of America gave Keegan Bradley the captainship of our team next year. But he did it just right before this British Open. As such, Keegan didn't make the cut, which I think if they would have waited till maybe after this event, I bet he would have made the cut. But I think this whole Ryder Cup thing has really, changed his perspective. But when I look at leaderboards like this, the Ryder Cup has an impact because of the relationships they have either when they play together or against each other. And I see a lot of these duels potentially right there in front of us. So I'm looking forward to one heck of a great day tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully the weather cooperates tomorrow as well. I mean, if you're watching the coverage, you can't really see
really
much right
see
now
it.
Because, I mean, they just showed a couple of guys. They showed Shane Lowry and Daniel Brown teeing off on a par three. You couldn't see where the ball landed. Just because all of the raindrops that were on the camera lens, you couldn't see any of it. So hopefully all that kind of figures itself out. Again, the most unpredictable weather tournament that you'll find for a major is this one. But I almost think, like, and it's something that I hated when I saw it with hockey, but you remember when they used to have the little glowing puck?
Yes.
I forget what network did it.
That was Fox.
That's right. It was Fox. Fox used to put the glowing puck. You almost need to do that right now with these golf balls because you can't see anything.
Yeah, you know, the shot tracer is one thing, but to your point, you cannot even see the golf ball right now. It's just the weirdest thing. The rain is winning over the lenses of these cameras, and
yeah,
it's almost as if they need little wipers right now so that we can see it. I mean, yeah, that means the wind's blowing when you're getting that much water on the lenses. It's not falling straight down by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope, it is swirling for sure. All right, when we come back, we will see what's going on around the CDGA, and I got to see where you're at right now on the CDGA Fantasy Golf, because you entered today as the leader. You entered the show today as the leader of the entire pool. So I got to see where you're doing there, and then we'll also tell you what else is taking place around the CDGA. All that is coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Thanks to Potsy for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. And real quick, before we go around the CDGA, Shane Lowry is your leader right now. He is at 8-under through 4. Justin Rose and Daniel Brown each at 5-under through 4 as well. Russell Henley making a charge today. He's in sole possession of 4th. He actually was tied for 4th now he is in sole possession of 4th as Thurston Lawrence is tied for 5th after a spectacular 6-under day from him. Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele each at 3-under on the day, as is Sam Burns, who is 6-under for the day. He is tied for 5th alongside his buddy Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, and Billy Horschel in that mix as well at 3-under. All right, Mike, what do we have going on around the CDGA?
Well, we got a few things going on, Tyler. First and foremost, let's say congratulations to Mitch from Des Plaines and Max here from Chicago. You are the winners of a couple of these beautiful coupons that Ron Cassidy has so nicely donated to the show. We'll be putting these into an envelope and getting them out the door to you. Play well and have a great time, and say hello to Ron when you go.
I got a tweet from Mitch, actually. He said, just won the golf giveaway. It pays to listen. So have a great time out there, Mitch.
Love it, Mitch. We contested the Illinois State Amateur, our biggest amateur tournament of the year, the 93rd playing, and it was down at the Atkins Golf Course on the campus of the University of Illinois. And, oh, did they play well. And we ended up with a playoff between Pierce Grieve of Lake Forest and Marcus Smith from Rockford. They unfortunately both bogeyed 17 on their way in and were both at 10 under and finished 9 under to go into a 3-hole aggregate playoff on holes number 7, 8, and 9. And Pierce Grieve came out on top and is the 2024 Illinois State Amateur Champion. And those low 20 and ties are exempt into next year's State Amateur. So congratulations to not only Pierce, but everyone who finished in the top 20 and will be joining us next year at our 94th playing of the Illinois State Am. So a great week down there. The golf course looked good. And, there was some great golf. And we've got some future tour players amongst us. So CDGA members, as Tyler has said, it always pays to be a member. And this week it will pay very nicely for those who want to go out and play some golf. Fox Bend, if you want to go out to the west, out in the western suburbs, $80 for a twosome Monday to Friday, Phillips Park. If you play between 8 and 1, $48 for 18 holes in a cart. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get away for one heck of a trip, take time and drive down to the Den in Bloomington. $52 for a golf cart and golf Monday through Friday, and then you get a $20 replay. And I know guys that go down and spend an overnight down there and come back with like three rounds or maybe even sometimes four rounds under their belt. It's one of the best buys going on in Central Illinois. And from those that are in the southern suburbs, you can get down there in like 90 minutes. So consider the Den for $52, and it is the course that they play the IHSA state finals on. So it is a Palmer Design quality venue. So go see the crew down at out the Den and enjoy golf down there. And then lastly, up north, Sunset Valley is 10% off on Twilight. And then Ron Cassidy at Glenview Park is offering a $69.95 for an early morning 6 a.m. like we did yesterday. And let me tell you, folks, that golf course is in fantastic shape. And it is a joy to walk around there that early in the morning. And for a golf and cart at $69.95, you can't go wrong. So with that, aside from if you haven't already, check out this month's CDGA Chicago District Golfer Magazine with the cover Aussie's Rule. It is packed with some amazing, amazing content. And that is it from the CDGA, around the CDGA, and enjoy the British, or as they say over there, the Open.
And I just took a check at the Fantasy Golf. You are currently in fifth right now, so you are knocking on the door of potentially winning this thing. So best of luck to you.
Thank you.
As the rest of the tournament goes on. All right. That's going to do it for us. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. And Peggy and Dion are coming up next as Bears training camp opens today. So you'll get the latest from them on all things Bears training camp coming up next. We'll talk to you next week.